realizing that they're singing to a great creator, God. Reed's an amazing individual. He has a great family. He's a great dad and a great mother from just all that I can see. And I'm really excited about hearing this morning. Would you please welcome Reed Saunders this morning?
What's up, creation? How are you guys doing this morning? Okay? Doing all right? What a beautiful day the Lord has given us, huh? Isn't this awesome? This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. So let's give Jesus a hand clap as we get going this morning, huh? Isn't he worthy of all of our praise? Yes, he is so worthy. I'm so excited to be with you this morning, and I first want to give a shout out to Pastor Harry Thomas. I am so thankful for his friendship and his influence in my life. I love him very much, and I'd love for you guys to join us at GhanaFest 2012. Go to the booth for some more information. But I'm really honored to be with you this morning. How many of you guys like VeggieTales out there? Any of you guys grow up liking VeggieTales? All right. Well, the other day at our family devotions, I have been married to my wife, Carmen, for 12 years. She's here, and I have three kids, Aslan, who's 9, Miley, who's 7, and little Tobin, who's 4. So we're doing family devotions, and I was going over Ecclesiastes 12:1. Which says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. And so I asked my kids, I said, okay, guys, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? And Tobin looks at me like I'm clueless, and he's raising his hand. I said, yeah, Tobin. He said, Dad, it was Bob the Tomato. So we got to work in the theology in the household of the Saunders family. But, you know, you got to love kids. They're so funny. So shout out for VeggieTales. I love telling people about Jesus Christ. In fact, I get pretty excited about it. In fact, reminds me of this one time I was in Africa, and I was speaking to a bunch of young people, and I was just so excited, you know, to tell them about Jesus. And I don't speak the Ugandan, so I was going through a translator, and I get done with my message, and the poor guy is down on one knee. He's sweating, he's huffing, he's puffing, and he looks up at me, and he says, Brother Reed, you're not too fast, you're three fast. So this morning, I'll try not to be three fast as I share my heart and my passion with you. You know, I gave my life to Jesus Christ at the age of 17. I turned from my sins and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing that he died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the grave. I know many of you have made that decision this week, and my good friend Tony Nolan's going to share tonight more about what it means to begin a relationship with Jesus. But at the age of 17, God got a hold of my heart, and I knew from that moment on I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus Christ. That's been my heartbeat. That's been my passion. And recently we were on a cruise. My wife, Carmen, and I celebrated our 12-year anniversary. I encourage you guys next November to come on the Creation Cruise. It's going to be awesome. But my wife and I were celebrating our 12-year anniversary. How many of you guys been on a cruise before? Any of you guys? Okay. Well, if you know that when you're on a cruise, you usually get the same waiter or waitress the whole time, right, that you're on the ship. So we had this dear woman. Her name was Rocio, and she was from Peru. So I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in divine appointments. I believe God has always given us opportunities to tell people about him. So once we get to introduce to Rocio, my wife Carmen and I began to pray for her and praying for opportunities that God will give us to tell her about Jesus Christ. So we've been praying with her, with her for a while, just kind of praying that God will get a hold of her heart. And you got to remember, with Rocio, people on these cruises are usually there for about 6 months at a time, right? So they've been able to see all the things that have gone forth. So before the Caleb Christian Cruise, there was what was called the rock boat. So they had all these hard rock bands on there. And so Rocio had been watching this. So finally came the last night of the last dinner at the cruise, and Carmen and I have been praying, really God put on our heart that tonight's the night to tell Rocio about Jesus. So we began to sit down at dinner, and Rocio came to the dinner table, and I looked up at Rocio, and I didn't start preaching at her, asked her a question. I said, Rocio, you know that Carmen and I love Jesus. Would it be okay if we tell you about Jesus Christ? And she stopped, and I always love when the Spirit of God gets a hold of someone, you know what I mean? When the Holy Spirit's getting a hold of a heart, I love that. So Rocio took a step back from the table, and she said, yes, please tell me about Jesus. So I shared the good news of Jesus Christ with Rocio. I said, you know, Rocio, God loves you, wants a relationship with you. Talked about sin, talked about Jesus Christ going to the cross, the empty of the tomb, and that she can begin a new life in Christ right now, be giving her life to Jesus Christ. So as I said that, I said, Rocio, would you like to begin a relationship with Jesus? And again, the Spirit of God was just, God had her heart right in his hands. She took another step back. She began to weep. She started to cry, and then she said these powerful words. She said, Reed, I've been watching all you Christians on this ship this past week. And then she said this. She said, I want what you have. She said, I want what you have. And right there at the table, Rocio turned from her sins and put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? my wife, Carmen, gave her Rocio her Bible, and to this day, Rocio is growing in Christ. We're staying in contact with her. But think about this, those powerful words, I want what you have. I want what you have. And this morning, I want to encourage you that so many people in your, what I call, sphere of influence, your school, your neighborhood, places that you work, people want what you have. And my challenge for you this morning is to continue to piggyback off what Bob was talking about yesterday, is the fact that God wants to use you to make a difference for eternity. I mean, think about that. God in his sovereign wisdom, who made the heavens and the earth, beautiful Mount Rainier. Have you seen it this morning? Isn't that just incredible? Just seeing God's fingerprints over this creation. It's awesome. So God in his sovereign wisdom has chosen to use you and I, men and women, to be his ambassadors, his vessels of the greatest news of all. As the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to use you to make a difference for eternity. You know, the Bible says in Philemon 1:6, it says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. Say active.
Active.
Active in sharing your faith so that you have a full understanding of every good thing that we have in Christ. You know, every time I get the privilege of telling someone about Jesus Christ, I reflect and remember all that he's done for me. The fact that he went to the cross, shed his blood in my place for my sins. That he loves me with an everlasting love. I think of how can I do anything else with my life than be a living sacrifice and pour out my life as an offering telling others about Jesus in America and around the world. And I think, my friends, the closer you and I get to Jesus Christ, the more that we love him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and might, the more we want to make him known, that passion to tell others about Jesus becomes contagious. We're so in love with Jesus, we can't help but tell others about him everywhere that we go. And I know for many of you this morning, you think, wow, you know, telling others about Jesus, that's tough. You think that's impossible. How many of you have watched the Mission Impossible movies that recently came out with Tom Cruise, right? How many of you guys have seen those? Okay. When it comes to sharing your faith, I know that's how many of you feel, Mission Impossible. But today from God's word, I want to encourage you that sharing your faith with others, being actively sharing Christ, is possible. Because with God, all things are what? With God, all things are? And he wants to work in and through you to impact your sphere of influence with the good news of Jesus Christ. Because I believe the enemy has placed this lie in our heads with the thoughts that people don't want to hear about Jesus. But that's not true. In my everyday life, not just through festivals and outreaches, but one-on-one evangelism, I try to be strategic. I try to go to the same gas station and build that relationship with the same gas station attendant at Chevron right there in Salem, Oregon. I try to build that relationship with the person at the same grocery store. We shop at Winco, try to build that relationship with the same person behind the counter. Same thing with people that I come in contact with the gym. Everywhere I go in our neighborhood, my wife Carmen has such a passion for Jesus. Every summer, we just had one, a Good News Club with Child Evangelism Fellowship. Every summer, many of our neighbor kids come to Jesus Christ. So be looking for those opportunities, that opportunity that God will give you, because so many people, like I said, I would say 8 out of 10 people that I come in contact with are open to hearing about Jesus Christ. Now, do they all give their lives to the Lord? No. But are they open? Yes. And remember, as the Bible says in Philippians 4:13, what does it say? We can do what? All things through who? Who gives us strength? And 1 John 4:4 says that he who is in us is greater than who? He who is in the world. So we've got the Lord Jesus Christ working in us and through us to impact lives for Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, Bob talked about it yesterday as well, that it wasn't a great suggestion, it was a commandment. But you know what I love from God's word, my friends? Is how often when God gives us a command, he follows it up with a promise, right? He says, therefore, go make disciples, not decisions, disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. But look at the end, he says, and I'm with you what? Even to the end of the age. Isn't that encouraging? Now let me say this, okay? You and I, we don't save anyone, right? It's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who works in people's hearts, convicts them of their sins, and draws them to the Savior, right? But what an awesome opportunity that you and I get to be a part of the Great Commission. But let me say this, the Great Commission to go out and make disciples, to share your faith, to be actively sharing your faith, it's not just for the evangelist, me. It's not just for the pastor. It's not for your youth pastor. It's for you. And do you know that you can reach people, remember, in your sphere of influence that myself, an evangelist, can't get to? And God has strategically placed you where you're at to be that light for Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said what? That we're the light of the world. We're the light of the world. And just like Mount Rainier this morning, how it was just so radiant, you could see it from miles around, couldn't you? I mean, it was just right there, so powerful, amazing. Just as Mount Rainier is just so visible, what if you and I were so radiant for Jesus Christ that when people could see us, they could see Jesus shining through us? Wouldn't that be awesome? And I believe that begins when you have a close and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And from the bottom of my heart, I encourage you, don't take your relationship with Jesus Christ for granted. Spend time with him. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. The God of the universe wants a relationship with you and I. As I travel the world, I mean, like for India, for example, Hinduism, they believe in 330 million gods. That's hard to fathom, right? But as I've walked the streets of India, you see idols everywhere to everything you could think of as a god. You see, they have religion, but they have no relationship. And you see it in your eyes, and that's why so many people are hungry for Christ in India and around the world. And you and I have a relationship, not a religion, a relationship with the God of the universe and his son, Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, be saying, God, who do you want me to share you with? And be praying. In fact, what I want to encourage you right now is maybe write down in your program or somewhere 3 to 5 friends that you know that don't know Christ. And be praying for them. I have tons of people in my Bible. Every morning when I do my devotions, I have people I pray for that don't know Christ. I still have a friend that I went to high school with that doesn't know Jesus, still building that relationship. I have people in my neighborhood. I have people that I hang out with that I'm building relationships with that don't know the Lord. Write down their name and be praying that God would move in their hearts. Are you passionate about telling others about Jesus? I mean, think about this. If you knew the cure to AIDS or cancer, you'd be going door to door 365 days a year, 366 if there's leap year, right? Saying, hey, I know the cure to AIDS or cancer. But so much more, you and I have the good news of Jesus Christ, how people can have their sins forgiven, how they can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, how they can be sure when they die they'll go to heaven as opposed to hell. That's good news. And I remember when I was in middle school, like I said, I didn't come to Christ until I was 17. But I had so many friends that I hung out with that I knew went to like Creation or went to church camps or whatever. They said they loved Jesus, but they never told me about Jesus. And I thought, what kind of friends are those? And I believe this, that the greatest way you can show love to someone is to love them enough to tell them about Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. I believe the greatest way you can love someone is to love them enough to tell them about Jesus Christ. Because just as we're here at Creation worshiping the Lord, that same joy and passion you have in Jesus, I mean, don't you want that for your friends, for your neighbors, and for your coworkers? God wants to use you, my friends. So say, God, I'm available, like Isaiah said. Here I am. Send me. I love Charles Spurgeon, one of England's most well-known preachers in the 1800s. He said this. He was so passionate for the lost. He said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. What a word picture. If they will perish, let them perish with their arms about their knees. Let no one go there unmourned and unprayed for. You feel his passion? Look at Apostle Paul. In Romans 1, 16 through 17, I love this. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Say, not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Are you ashamed of the gospel? You see, Jesus wasn't ashamed of us on the cross. Be bold. Say, God, use me to impact lives for Jesus Christ. One Sunday after church, a little boy came up to the pastor, and he tugged on his sleeve and said, Pastor, I got a question for you. He said, yeah? He said, you were talking in your message today that we could ask Jesus into our heart. He said, yeah, that's right. Boy scratched his head, kind of looking a little confused. He said, well, if I'm a little boy in a little boy's body, and Jesus is a man in a man's body, is that true? And the pastor said, yeah, yeah. Boy really looked confused. Now I said, well, if I'm a little boy in a little boy's body, and Jesus is a man in a man's body, if I invite him into my heart, it'll be sticking out all over. The pastor looked at the boy and said, exactly. You see, the closer that you and I are in our relationship with Jesus Christ, he'll be sticking out all over. I want to encourage you, be that magnet that people are drawn to Jesus. Because I talked about this in my talk yesterday, how sadly in America we're doing just the opposite. He's not sticking out all over. He's hidden. He's MIA. Because there's a survey, and Bob was talking about stats. I'll give you another one. A bunch of unbelievers, okay, this is people that don't love Jesus, ages 13 to 30 were interviewed. And they basically came up with this conclusion, they said that they couldn't see the difference of the lifestyles lived out of their Christian friends versus their non-Christian friends. Let me say that again. The average unsaved person said they couldn't see anything different from the lives of their friends lived out Sunday to Sunday of their saved friends versus their unsaved friends. That's tragic, isn't it? My prayer is that we in America, we as followers of Jesus Christ, will get back to the cross, we'll get back to the Word of God, and we'll say we want to stand for Jesus Christ. We want to love Him with all we've got. Amen? Because God loves everyone. And if you don't tell your friends and neighbors about Jesus, who's going to do it? So this morning, I want to take a look at God's Word, to me, of an illustration from the Word of God of what it looks like to be actively sharing our faith. What it looks like to say, God, I give you my all. Use me to make a difference for eternity. Because someone once said this, said, every heart without Christ is a mission field, but every heart with Christ is a missionary. Let me say that again. Every heart without Christ is a mission field. Every heart with Christ is a missionary. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, if you would, to the Word of God in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. You're probably familiar with this passage of Scripture. It's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I love this passage of Scripture, though, because it gives us an idea of what it looks like to be actively telling others about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone down to Jerusalem to worship. Verse 28. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Look at verse 30. I love Philip's response. It's not like, well, Lord, I'm kind of busy. I got to go to a meeting. Maybe tomorrow. Look at verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. I think the Word of God puts that word in there for a reason, right? He ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet. And then he asked an interesting question, a good spiritual starter conversation. He says, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. It's actually Isaiah 53, 7 through 8. You might want to make a note. But about Jesus, it says this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Verse 34, I can just love seeing when the Spirit of God gets a hold of a heart. The eunuch said to Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. And I love this part. It says, but he went on his way, what? Rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Don't you love that passage of Scripture? Do you guys think that Philip was passionate about sharing the good news with others? I sure think so. He had a heart to reach out to make a difference for eternity. So three things I want to share with you this morning as a result of this passage of Scripture. First thing is this. Like Philip, practice an open heart with God for witnessing. Say open heart. Say open door. You see, I believe that when we give God an open heart, He'll give us an open door to impact a life for Jesus Christ. Look how Philip had an open heart. He's traveling along. The Spirit, angel of the Lord says, go to that chariot. And what? He goes running up. He's like, what, Lord? You want me to share you with someone? Woohoo! Here I go. Running up there. I love that passion. So how can you and I have an open heart with God? Two things. One, first of all, pray for people you know that don't know the Lord. Let me say this. How many of you have someone very close in your life that doesn't know Jesus? Let me see your hands, okay? For me, it's my sister Andrea. She's about 3 years younger than me. I love my sister so much. We've been very close growing up. I love her. She's a lawyer in Southern California. You can feel for my poor parents, right? They got two kids. One's an evangelist. The other one's a lawyer. So in our household, we get quite the jokes, either the religious realm with evangelists or the secular realm with lawyers. But my sister, Andrea, I love her so much, and I pray for her every single day. I don't know if you've heard this before, but I can't stand when people say, hey, Reed, you don't know my friend, or you don't know my loved one, or my son, or my daughter. They say, they're so far from God, there's no way they could come to Jesus. Have you ever heard people say that? That is so wrong, right? We never give up on people. Why? Because we never give up on God, right? And God can soften the hardest of hearts. He softened your heart. So I want to encourage you to pray for people you know that don't know the Lord. I pray for my sister every single day. In fact, I prayed for my sister this morning. I pray this. I pray, God, I pray that your heart would, you would work in my sister's heart, and that you give me another opportunity to tell her about you, and that you bring someone in her life that would tell her about you. So pray for them. Pray that God would get a hold of their hearts, and pray for people that you know that don't know the Lord. Secondly, pray for opportunities, right? Open heart, open door. You see, that's so important that you and I, it's such a spiritual battle, right? I mean, heaven and hell is in the balance. And God wants his people to be praying over the souls of people we know that desperately need Christ. And like I said, write down 3 to 5 people you know that don't know the Lord and be praying for those opportunities. Secondly, a great way to practice an open heart with God is to build relationships with people that don't know the Lord. Let me say this, though. Guys with guys, gals with gals, very, very important. But let me say this, okay? I believe in America we have what's called holy huddle syndrome. Does that make sense? What I mean by that is that everyone that we come in contact with throughout the whole week is fellow believers. I mean, that's great, right? Because the Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. But let me say this. How can you not be the salt and light? How can we be actively sharing our faith if we don't know anyone that doesn't know Jesus? I mean, it's one thing to go up and give a tract to someone. Anyone can do that. But it's another thing to actually build a relationship with someone and, as Young Life always says, earn the right to be heard, right? Build those relationships. And relationships are hard work, aren't they? How many of you are married out there? Okay? Quite a few of you. Marriage takes a lot of work, right? Relationships take a lot of work. But the important thing, my friends, is that you build relationships with people that you can be influence in their lives and then earn the right to tell them about Jesus. Another thing that always breaks my heart is the fact that we talk to our friends about anything and everything, right? Sports, the economy, you name it. But we never tell them about Jesus Christ. Why is that? Why is that? You see, say, God, give me an open door. I give you my open heart. Because when you give God an open heart, I believe he's going to give you an open door. I have a good friend who's a youth pastor. Any youth pastors out here? A few of you guys? Okay, well, I made a mistake. I got in a car with a youth pastor, which is a mistake, right? Because they drive like the minister, fast and furious, crazy. So we're driving along. We were going out to the Oregon coast. This is a few years ago. And we're driving along, and we see this guy hitchhiking. And my youth pastor friend nudges me and says, Reed, let's stop and let's witness to this guy. And my mom always told me, we don't stop for hitchhikers, right? Guy standing there with a machete. Come on, pull over. Just kidding. Anyway, so we pull over to the side of the road, and this guy's name's Wayne from Montana. Anyone from Montana here? All right, we got some Montana. Woo, nice. So anyway, Wayne's from Montana's hitchhiking, and we pull over to the side of the road, and he's like, man, I was praying you guys would stop. So Wayne gets in the car, poor guy, can you imagine? He gets in the car with a youth pastor and evangelist. I'm all, lock the door, Paul. Anyway. So anyway, he starts talking about how he got in this predicament of hitchhiking. He was traveling from Montana to Oregon with his girlfriend to meet with some family members. And they had one of those arguments, right? Where they both started getting mad at each other. It's a long drive from Montana to Oregon. So they're getting underneath each other's skin. And finally, he's like, you know, I'm so mad at you, I could just get out of here. And she said, well, I'm so mad at you, I will let you get out of here. She pulls off the side of the road. He gets off. She drives off. That's how poor Wayne became hitchhiking. So anyway, as we're in the car, we're talking to Wayne. And Wayne's like, you know, I try to do good things in my life. Typical thing you hear. So Paul and I are continuing to talk to him about the Lord. And finally, you see his girlfriend coming back with wide eyes trying to find him, right? So my youth pastor friend makes a quick 180, pulls the side road, catches up to her. We pull over. And then Wayne says, you know what? You guys are so nice to me, I think I'm going to start going to church. I turned around in the backseat, looked at Wayne. I said, Wayne, going to church doesn't make you Christian. And then he said these words, like the Ethiopian eunuch, what must I do? So right there, I shared the good news of Jesus Christ with Wayne. I said, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So right there in the backseat, Wayne prayed and gave his life to Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? So here's my point, okay? When you're traveling home from creation, don't be looking for hitchhikers. I can see it now. You heard about Rita, this pullover. You guys got this big knife. Hello. No, anyway. But the point is, it's like my friend Paul, right? When you give God an open heart, he'll give you an open door. So allow God to use you to make a difference for eternity. All right, secondly, be prepared to share. Like Philip, be prepared to share. You know, Philip was ready. He shows up. This eunuch is reading from this passage of scripture in Isaiah, right? You notice verse 35? It says that Philip began with that very passage of scripture and shared the good news of Jesus Christ with him. So how can you and I be prepared? The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." But don't forget this last part. It says, "But do this with what? Gentleness and respect." No one wants to be preached at. They want to be loved at, right? So be prepared when God gives you those open doors. So how can you be prepared? Two ways. First of all, memorize God's word. Memorize the word of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans, it says, faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing by the words of Christ. And the book of Hebrews 4 says that the word of God is like a sword that the Spirit of God takes to drill into people's hearts, convict them of their sins, and draw them to the Savior. I mean, look at Matthew 4. Remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, right? And the devil said, "Well, hey, if you're the Son of God, take this rock and make it into bread." What did Jesus say? Amen, brother. I hope you heard that. He said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Memorize the word of God. I remember I went to Corbin University, formerly Western Baptist College in Salem. Yeah, all his Corbin friends out there. And I remember when my professor, Dr. Herb Anderson, came out. I was a student, and he had like a journal about as thick as my Bible. And he said, it was all the verses he'd memorized over his lifetime. He says, "Memorize the word of God." And I remember as a student, I took that to heart. And since then, I've been memorizing lots and lots of verses from God's word. So how can you do it? Take a little 5x7 card, just a little card, write a verse on it, stick it in your back pocket. As you're going through your day, take it out and focus on it. And before you know it, you have the word of God memorized. But this is important, not just in your head, but in your heart. Remember, David said, "I've hidden your word in my heart," right? "That I might not sin against you." So a great way to start in memorizing was called the Romans Road. Like Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," right? Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in this, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," right? "But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And then Romans 8:1, "Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And then Romans 10:9, which I quoted earlier. But memorize the word of God and be ready, because I don't know about you, but I don't bring my Bibles with me everywhere I go. But when God gives you the opportunity, share the good news. A second way you can be prepared is sharing your story, sharing your testimony. All of you that have a relationship with Jesus Christ have a story to share. And you notice how often the Apostle Paul used his own testimony in sharing the gospel, like before King Agrippa? You've seen that in Acts? Share your story, and you can break down your testimony in three simple ways. The first way is what I call your BC. This is before you came to Christ. What was your life like? What was going on? Secondly is what I call your C, or your commitment, or when you chose to give your life to Jesus Christ. Many of you could have been here at creation. The third thing is your what I call your WC. This is your walk with Christ now. What's been going on? And be real with people. Don't water it down. You know, say, "I've had some ups, I've had some downs, but Jesus has been with me every step of the way." You see, people can debate many things, but they can't debate your own story, how Jesus has changed your life. So go to Starbucks, grab a latte, and share with your friend the grace news of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Thirdly and finally, produce disciples as you actively share your faith. Produce disciples. Notice how the Ethiopian eunuch, how did he go off on about his way? He went on his way what? Rejoicing, right? How many of you have seen that when people first come to Christ, they're like the most contagious for Jesus, right? Isn't that so true? He went on his way rejoicing, and even though scripture is silent here, many scholars and theologians believe that the Ethiopian eunuch took the gospel down to Ethiopia, where many people came to Christ. It's like a domino effect, right? Here you got Philip, open heart, God gives him an open door. He shares the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch. God gets a hold of the Ethiopian eunuch's heart. He goes on his way rejoicing. People see Christ in him, the Mount Rainier experience, right? They see Jesus shining through him. God uses the Ethiopian eunuch. He reaches his sphere of influence. His friends and neighbors come to Christ. It's awesome. You see, it's so incredible when God can get a hold of a heart like you, like you, like you, like you. I'll tell you another story. I was in Africa one time, and we're going through an area where there are a lot of Muslims, so we're doing service projects, and then we're inviting people to the festival in the evening. We came to this one little store, and this man, Moses, was working. And we said, come to the festival tonight. He said, no, he said, I'm a Muslim, I can't come to the festival. So we said, okay, we prayed for him, and then later on, we went about and we had a soccer match where two teams played each other, and I got to share the gospel at halftime. So I invited people to come and give their life to Jesus at halftime, and who do I see coming forward but the same guy, Moses. And as he's coming forward, about 10 of his friends, they're mocking him, they're jeering him, they're like, what are you doing? You're a Muslim, don't give your life to Jesus. But God got a hold of Moses' heart, and he came and gave his life to Jesus. Now, Moses' dad was a Muslim cleric. You know what a Muslim cleric is? Very high up, okay? Now, as you can imagine, he wasn't very happy that his son had just given his life to Jesus. So Moses comes home, and his dad took his belongings. This is not much, okay? This is Africa. Put it kind of outside his dirt hut. And he looked at his son. He said, son, you either renounce your faith or your family. Wow. It's pretty big. Most of us don't have to deal with that. But Moses looked at his dad and said, Dad, I love you, but I've made this decision for Jesus Christ on my own. There's no turning back. So Moses goes and stays at his uncle's house. The next day, Moses' uncle shows up at the compound where our team's staying, and he says, tell me about this Jesus that my nephew Moses is talking about. Should we share the gospel with Moses' uncle? And Moses' uncle gives his life to Jesus. Later that day, we had a pastor's conference, and we invited Moses to come along so we could learn more about the Word of God. He says, hey, I got a friend that doesn't know the Lord. Can I invite him to the conference? We said, sure. So his friend comes to the conference, and he says this, tell me about this Jesus that my friend Moses is talking about. So we share the gospel with Moses' friend, and Moses' friend gives his life to Jesus. And we're getting pretty excited here, okay? If you're a Hindu, Muslim, you change your, give your life to Jesus, you change your name. So Moses' name wasn't Moses, but I can't pronounce his former name, so I just tell him what he changed his name to, which is Moses. His uncle comes to Christ and changes his name to Aaron. Then his friend comes to Christ and changes his name to Elijah. We're like, this is awesome. What a great mission trip. We've got the law and the prophets. Woo! Anyway, so the next day we're at the festival. Moses goes out and invites three more of his friends to the festival. And at the festival, all three of his friends give their lives to Jesus. The next day, Moses invites me to his house. His dad's away on business, so it's kind of like a covert operation, right? All clear, bring the evangelist in. So I got my camouflage and was going through the African bush. Not really, but it sounds good, doesn't it? Kind of cool. Anyway, so I show up at Moses' house, kind of typical African home, little strand of clothes drying in the beautiful African sun. Some chickens running around, and there's Moses' mom, three sisters and brother sitting in the courtyard. And Moses' mom looks at me and she says, Reed, tell me about this Jesus that my son Moses is talking about. So we share the good news of Jesus with Moses' mom, three sisters, and brother. And Moses' mom, three sisters, and brother all give their lives to Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? I'll never forget when Moses' mom looked at me and she said, Reed, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ because of the change that I've seen in my son Moses. It's like 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Well, finally, it was the last night of the festival. Moses decided to go for broke. Remember those 10 friends of his that were mocking and jeering him at the soccer match? Remember that? Well, he went out and invited all 10 of them to the festival. And that night at the festival, those 10 friends went from jeering to cheering as all 10 of them gave their lives to Jesus Christ. My friends, in a span of 6 days, 6 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 26 of Moses' family and friends who are Muslims are now today followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? My friends, if God can use Moses in a remote African village, he can use you to influence your sphere of influence for Jesus Christ. And I remember the saying in Africa about sharing your faith. They said, if not you, then who? If not here, then where? If not now, then when? My friends, God wants to use you to make a difference for eternity. When you give God an open heart, he'll give you an open door. Jesus loves you more than anything. But he also loves your friends, your neighbors, your fellow students, and your coworkers with an everlasting love, the Bible says in Jeremiah 31:3. So my friends, let's get in the game. Let's allow God to use us. Because the Bible says in Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Allow God to use you to impact lives for Jesus Christ. Because just like Rocio said, your friends today are saying, I want what you have. I want what you have. Let's pray. Our loving Father, I am so thankful for my friends here today. God, I'm so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Father, thank you that you saved my life. And God, thank you for all the lives you saved here. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, God, that as tonight, as Tony shares, I pray, Father, that you would draw them to your Son, Jesus, that they would come to the cross, repent of their sins, and put their faith and trust in you alone, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray for my sister, Andrea, and I pray for all the friends represented here, God, who have loved ones, maybe a son, maybe a daughter, maybe a husband, maybe a wife, maybe a friend, maybe a neighbor that doesn't know your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus, by your Spirit, that you would empower them, you give them your boldness, your courage. As your word says, you do not give a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. God, use them to impact lives for Christ. And Father, as your word says in Psalm 115:1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. And God, as Mount Rainier is shining in all the glory that you created to be, God, today, I pray you'd use us to shine for your glory, God, to be your light to this world. All for you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Reed. Praise the Lord. One of the joys that I've had this past year is to get to know Reed and